Today on VFN TV, we're going to be discussing a terrorist attack in Israel, leaving an 18-year-old American citizen dead. We're also going to be sharing the outcry of an Arab Muslim Israeli as she speaks about the importance of uniting the nation. And right now, a tribute to Ezra and his life and so much more right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America is in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kalaszewski. And today I want to just talk with you about what's happening in Israel. Martin Luther King Jr. once said that an injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And the truth is that every single life on the face of this earth matters. They matter to Jesus Christ because Jesus died for them. He died for each one of us. And right now we're seeing globally so many people being threatened by Islamic radical jihadists and terrorists like we've never seen before. However, it doesn't appear that every bit of terrorist acts are getting the same amount of attention. And you may not be aware of this. Seems like the media has not covered it nearly as much, but a young American citizen, a young man by the name of Ezra Schwartz, was just killed in Israel by a terrorist attack. He was mowed down. Get this. He was sent by his parents to Israel. He's from Massachusetts, and he was sent there, and he was on his way to bring food, I believe, to IDF, Israel's Defense Force, when right in the middle of traffic, someone came out with a machine gun and killed several people, one of them being Ezra, and it is an absolute tragedy. I want you to watch this report as we find out more details of what occurred.
According to the Mideast, Israel suffered its deadliest days yet in its current wave of terror. 5 died in 2 separate attacks, including an American teen who was there simply to study and volunteer. CBN's Chris Mitchell brings us the story from the scene of one of those attacks.
American Ezra Schwartz came to Israel to join a program co-sponsored by the Jewish Agency and the Israeli government. The head of the Jewish Agency, Natan Sharansky, found his death even more tragic because Schwartz came to be part of the vibrant Israeli experience. This is the scene of the terror attack where Ezra Schwartz and 2 others were killed. A 24-year-old Palestinian terrorist from nearby Hebron drove up in this lane of traffic and began shooting into the next lane with an automatic rifle. He killed Ezra, a Palestinian, an Israeli, and wounded 7 others. This video caught the aftermath when Israeli police surrounded the terrorist. Earlier in the day, 2 more Israelis died in Tel Aviv when 36-year-old Raed Mahmoud walked into a synagogue and began randomly stabbing worshipers during afternoon prayers. He worked in a restaurant next door. Hamas praised both of the attacks that came almost 1 year to the day after a major terror attack on a Jerusalem synagogue that killed 4 during morning prayers. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the terrorists will pay a price for these attacks, and Israeli officials continue to blame incitement by the Palestinian Authority and its political party, Fatah. Fatah recently held a rally honoring the terrorists responsible for the first 2 murders in this current wave of violence. Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz tweeted that the Palestinian Arab terrorism is simply the same radical Islam as ISIS. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Gush Etzion.
same. This is the same thing that's happening with radical jihadists. But the Palestinians are doing this to Israel, and they've been doing it for years. It just reminds me of prior to 9/11, you could barely get anyone to speak of terrorism because it was a great majority of it was happening in Israel. But after 9/11, terrorism, that word was on the mouths of so many people, especially those of us in the West, because it was our new reality. But I want you to watch this moving tribute that Ezra's friends, they gathered all around his coffin and together. I mean, they're at the airport. They're sending his body home to his parents. A tragic situation, but they get together, and right in the middle of the airport, they begin to sing Israel's national anthem in solidarity as Ezra's body is being flown back. This is on his journey back home to America, and this is what his friends did to remember this fine young man. Watch this. Our hearts go out to Ezra and every single person who's lost their life at the hands of terrorists, radical jihadists. My question is, where is the outcry? Where is the condemnation of these attacks? Where are the voices of our own government saying this should stop in Israel and shall no longer be tolerated? There's a narrative. If you haven't noticed the narrative, that continually their goal is to snuff Israel out. But part of that narrative is to totally dismiss and ignore Israel and anything that happens to the people in the area. It's so important that we continue to share the light. It's so important to keep the light focused on Israel. When we get back from this break, we're going to give you an awesome insight into an Arab Muslim who's an Israeli, as she talks about the importance of all Israelis to stand united against those who want to divide them. Before we go to this break, we want to share with you a special offer that you don't want to miss. Take part of it, get it for yourself, and get it for your friend. Join us when we get back from this break.
You know, we got to begin to rethink being the church. Mm-hmm. And one thing that's very important to understand right now, we have an offer for you. It's offer 1999, and it's number 1999. And it is called, you know, this is a conversation that I had about, you know, signs of the Lord's returning, because we're in those days. This is like the times of the, mm-hmm. the signs of the Lord's returning. And it's very important to ask the question, are you ready? A lot of people are so into end time things and that type of stuff. And I'm not saying the world's coming to an end, but as you can see right here, it's you know, signs of the Lord's returning. Are you ready? And you even see the scripture right there. You see the scripture where he says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Wow.
And others will go to meet him in the air. I mean, this is in those days. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that you can have, but the most important question we need to know the answer to is the one that Nicodemus had, which is, how must I be saved?
Yes.
You know, not all these theories and stuff. And also I talk about in this to help you, and this is totally yours as a gift for partnering today, is the signs. What do these signs particular mean? This battle for the Temple Mount that we're talking about, this is a sign of the Lord's returning. When you look at what's happening with our own nation, when you're seeing, you know, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association putting out their magazine decision saying, prepare for persecution, prepare for when a nation turns its back on God, basically it's saying, these are signs, are rapidly moving signs, and you need to be prepared. We just want to give this to you, partnership for any amount at all. And as our partners, we're doing this thing together. God knows, he sees us. He says, listen, I command you, this is the command, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth. And you can partner today by going to vfntv.com and click on partner now, which you can see, or you can write to us at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505, or you can even call 844-408-3688. And it's so important to understand how to connect. This is how, I mean, you want to, when the Lord returns, and he is, and we're going to all stand before the throne of God, you want to be able to say, you know what? Together, I stood with VFN TV to be the light, to keep the light shining 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and on the Gulf Coast every single day, Monday through Friday. Think about that. And it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news that you know. And how does this happen? It happens because of you saying, you know what? I do want a partner. And what we want to do is give you this gift. It's called Signs of the Lord's Returning. Are you ready? It's offered $19.99.
We appreciate your partnership. Do it today. And also talk to other people about partnering. We love hearing from you. And it's so encouraging when you call, when you write, when you send emails, when you like our Facebook page, because we know that we're not alone. And so many people are saying, listen, we understand that the answer is not in Washington, D.C. or who we elect, but the answer is Jesus. The answer is the gospel. The answer is the Lord. And together, it's a team that's coming together. We're partnering to keep the conversation light, and it's through our partnership and the stuff that we're doing together. I'm just so excited.
Yes.
And as the partners continue to come on, I mean, these are wonderful resources that you need to feed your spirit, but also that you can share the word with your family and your friends. It takes all of us, and the times are short. So we're just privileged to have this time, you know, with you guys.
Hi, I'm Stephen Hurst, and from all of us at Hurst Transmission and Hurst Family Motors, happy Thanksgiving.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
And it's amazing how we're standing together to be able to do this. And we have so many things as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership, as you know. We have an entire partnership area, you know, in regards to what's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Think about this, that all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed and this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call, you can go online at vfntv.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at vfntv.com, a partner now, or you can go to, you see the mailing address, you can even mail in your a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner,
that is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this, be a part, and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house, you grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace.
He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write and join the many partners that are keeping us going. And mm-hmm. we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
It's amazing what we're seeing, Steve, in Israel and Ezra. Think about this young man. My goodness, my heart just goes out to him because his parents send him out to Israel for this wonderful opportunity that he had to volunteer.
The Jerusalem experience, what they said.
Yeah, and he doesn't come back home. He does not come back home because of a terrorist attack, and you barely hear anything mentioned at all. And it's important for us to keep the light on Israel. Part of this narrative is to pay Israel no mind when tragedies, when all sorts of terrorist attacks happen in Israel, no one pays any attention to them. The minute they respond, then they want to bring the attention to Israel. But by keeping the light on, we can make sure that those things that are occurring are being exposed, that they're being talked about, that people know the truth behind what is happening. Mm-hmm. Much like leaving a light on at home at night to keep prowlers away, you know, you want to keep the front porch light on, right? You want to keep everything well lit. Well, we want to keep it light. We want to keep it well lit. We want all attention on Israel. If you didn't know, it's the epicenter of what's happening in the world today. Pay attention. Pay attention to Israel. And I'm so thankful, Steve, for the comments of Sarah Zawabi. She is an Israeli Muslim and a Zionist who speaks out in the Israeli Knesset against the incitement that's happening and the importance of Israelis standing in unity. You know, a house divided will fall. And at the end of the day, everyone that lives in Israel, you're an Israeli citizen, whether you're a Palestinian, you know, whether you're an Arab, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Jew. At the end of the day, you're an Israeli citizen. And there's so many people that would try to speak division into this small, little, tiny country, smaller than the state of New Jersey, and divide them from within. And she boldly speaks. I mean, her words are stunning, and they were so well received. In fact, I want you to hear from Sarah herself as she addresses the Knesset in Israel. Watch this. I define myself as a proud Israeli Zionist and Arab Muslim. A Zionist means that I support the right of the Jewish people and believe that they, the Jews, deserve their own state, Holy Land, and the State of Israel. It's their right and no one's grace. Throughout history and until today, the Jewish people have been suffering from genocidal attacks and persecutions. Till today, many are interested in annihilation of the Jews, state, and the Jewish people. Therefore, the Jewish people deserve their own state. It's a right and not a grace. As a Muslim and an Arab who is active in Israel's advocacy, I want to tell all Arabs, and especially the Israeli Arabs, wake up. We live in a paradise. 1 million Arabs live in Israel among Jews and are not suffering like Arabs living under Arab rulers. In Israel, there is a freedom of speech and a freedom of religion. In Israel, Muslims, Druze, and Christians enjoy conditions that in Arab countries are prevented. Israeli Arabs are not even willing to leave Israel because this kind of paradise is not to be found, and they know that. I believe that Israeli citizens, regardless of their religion, must be first Israelis. Same like if a Jew and a Muslim who live in France, they're a French Muslim or a French Jew. Only in Israel there is a real democracy and acceptance of the other regardless of race, religion, or color. Of course, not everything is perfect, and there are things that need to be changed, but perfect countries exist only in theory, not in reality. For me, the Israeli flag is my flag, and the Hatifa is my national anthem. Whether it's hard or easy, good or bad, expensive or cheap, that is my country. No citizenship without loyalty. Israel is the state of all of its citizens. Us, the minority, must fulfill all of our duties as citizens. When I say minorities, I mean Druze, Bedouins, Christians, and Cherkessians. It's our national duty to contribute and serve the army and any other national service. In order to be granted rights, you need to fulfill your duties. Many from the minorities have joined the security forces and reached high positions. Many have fought for the country since it was established. Some died while defending it. Israeli citizens, Arabs, Jews, Muslims, Christians, Turks, Bedouins, it's time to unite. Let's not let anyone disrupt our lives in Israel. We must end the bloodshed and calm everyone down. We will fight for the peaceful life together. Don't let radicals take over the situation. And don't make concessions. Concessions are a green light and invite for attacks. Don't let them define our lives, life of terror, hate, and wars. From this stage, I address the Attorney General to order the police to start an immediate investigation against all, some of the Israeli Arab Parliament members on the basis of incitement for violence. This is a disgrace. The sense of security of the Israeli population has been violated as a cause of the incitement for violence by some of the Israeli Arab Parliament members. They enjoy a decent salary, yet they spread their incitement worldwide. And to the Israeli Arabs who claim that Israel is an occupier, in apartheid state, it's the fact that we have an Arab Parliament members, that's our apartheid? That there is no freedom of speech, minorities are being persecuted as they claim, and now inciting to a third intifada in the name of Oscar? You're ungrateful. Shame on you. The state of Israel is only state which respects freedom of religion and is the only state that guards our holy sites, including Alaska. The state of Israel, the Israeli people, and our prime minister have no intention of destroying Al-Aqsa or any other holy site. We must put an end to the false and dangerous incitement, which is the cause of this recent wave of terror. We must stop the Nazi speeches of Israel's haters. We are under terror attack day and night. They took the law to their own hands. I address the Arabs, minorities in Israel. Disregard the lies and the incitement by the radicals. We are living in paradise. Look at what's happening in the Arab states. You need to appreciate what we have and show your gratitude. For we have a state that is Israel and wonderful people who embrace us. They are the pride to humanity. We must also support our soldiers who defend us with their body. Regardless of race, color, or religion, they are being abused. Our army is the most moral army in the world. To me, they are my children, and they are the children of every Zionist mom. The terror and the killing, I refer to all the Arab states. And I know that I'm paying a price here, but that's the truth and I fight for it. Terror and killing is not the way of the Jewish people. And it's not the way of my dear Prime Minister. And it's not the way of the state of Israel. Any hate crime conducted by an Israeli Jew is insane. It hurts every Zionist, I'm sure of it. And the Jewish people didn't choose terror and did not lose their humanity. The Jewish people, despite the genocide and persecutions they had suffered. The Jewish people are pride to humanity. They had fought for peace. I'll conclude by saying that we must first support our dear Prime Minister, Mr. Benjamin Netanyahu. Disregard the media lies about our government. No one is perfect, but he is as close to perfect as you'll find. In other words, he is the right man at the right place. He keeps the security of all Israeli citizens. Thanks to him, we have a security strong, economy, and equal rights. We must trust him. And he represents me and you and the state of Israel with dignity. Don't let freedom of speech and democracy become freedom of hate and incitement. We are all together through thick and thin. Despite the differences, we will join arms and win together. We will join hands to win anti-Semitism, and we will build a better future for us and for our children. Together, we can live in peace and harmony. Thank you very much. I wish you peace and love to all of you. Amazing. Wow. Sarah Zawabi, thank you. Thank you for your candor. Thank you for your honesty. It is so refreshing and it's so wonderful. Someone speaking truth in the midst of so much lies and deception.
She's a voice.
It's amazing. And we encourage many, many more to stand up with Sarah and say, listen, we have it good here in Israel, and we refuse to allow terrorists and those that want to incite a third intifada and all kinds of terrorist acts in our country to divide us, that everyone would stand united, because divided Israel will fall. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about the price, Steve, of protecting the homeland. This is something that Israel's been doing for quite a while, and they've invested a lot of money and resources and training to keep their citizens safe. And the United States needs to be able to look at some of these things that Israel's doing, as well as the rest of the nations of the world. And we'll be talking more about that when we come back from this break. But during this break, we want you to see what is happening with the Vine Seminar. Listen, it is coming close. It is coming soon. And maybe you're supposed to be a part of it. Stay tuned and find out more of the details, because it's going to happen. And I believe that probably, if you're watching today, it's about you. You need to play your part and your role. We'll be back soon.
So what do you do? I mean, you got this difficult times that test men's souls coming to the earth. What does the church do? We just go back to the original intent of the church. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. And it's not hard. But it's the one thing that's being fought the most in society. It's called relationship. It's called loving one another, spending time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Those things only happen in the context of a relationship. Discipleship's caught in relationships better than taught in some particular classroom type setting. When you look at the church in its original intent, do you think it did? Was that a mistake? You know, the fact that they were meeting together and eating together and did they just not figure out how to build a huge complex yet? I mean, what's going on? But then you go back and go, well, the fear of the Lord was there, that miracles was happening amongst them, signs and wonders, and they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching. And but it's really, you know, we went on this journey some time back, you know, understanding what does it mean to be the church. You know, and he says, go ye into all the world, but yet we have this come-y type mentality, right? Come ye to my church, come to my building, come to my meeting, come to this thing. And it's like, but no, we're not going out. And by not going out, other things are going out and promulgating something different than the gospel darkness. And we had to find out, we're supposed to be a go-y church instead of a come-y church, that God, as Christians, we're supposed to go out. As we begin to understand that and walk that out and say, you know what, we're going to do, if it takes 10 years, we're going to do exactly what the Lord said, and begin to walk that out. And what we found out in beginning to walk out the pattern of the church, that God loves it. He is so into his kingdom, the fullness of, like, you know, one man said, it was like stepping out of a flower pot into the fourth chapter of Acts, the things that begin to happen. And it's exciting. It's exhilarating. And God wants to be, you know, God, we got the word of God back to the church. We got to get the church to pick it up again. But God wants his church back. He wants us to be loyal to his voice and to follow him. There's only one church, the church under Jesus Christ as the head.
That's right.
And he wants his church back. What we did was we said, you know, how can we put something together to share our experience? We call it the Vine Seminar. You think about it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible to be fruitful unless we abide in him, abide in the vine. He says, I'm the vine, my father's the gardener, you're the branches. And so what we did, we came together and we put together what we call the Vine Seminar. It's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. It's a limited amount of seating in it. You can sign up for it at vfntv.com under events. You'll see Vine Seminar there. And we want to just share our experiences. And you're gonna enjoy church again. If God's calling you to begin to walk that way, then you're gonna begin to enjoy it. It's an amazing thing, you know. And I really believe from what we've seen, and that the Spirit of the Lord is so pleased when we come together and love each other and spend time with each other and dedicate ourselves to His Word. He shows up in a powerful way and heals and delivers and signs and wonders and miracles and dreams. Find out more. Go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner, you see events. Hover over that. You'll see the Vine Seminar. Sign up for it today. It's limited space. Make sure you get in.
Hi, I'm Angela with Miguel's Mexican Restaurant. On behalf of all of us here, we'd like to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Can you lose your job for referring to your faith? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
Out of the blue here all of a sudden last Wednesday morning, here comes my boss walking into one of the stores I was in, and he goes, I'm going to have to let you go. And I said, for what? And he said, harassment. You can't tell people that if you're not religious, you're going to go to H-E-L-L. And I said, I didn't say any of that.
Yeah, let me tell you this. You can't be fired for your faith, and it had to be documented. There was this attempt a few years ago to create what was called a religious free zone at the workplace, but that did not come into fruition. And we beat those guidelines back. So, again, that's an overreaction. Let me get you in touch also with our lawyers here at the ACLJ and get you some help. And by the way, great resources, Gary, on our website. The On the Issues section, when you go there, right there on the website, has a whole section about workplace and what you can and cannot do. But yeah, since you've been terminated here, let me get you in touch with our lawyers.
Visit us at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out there. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bring in some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yeah.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle that kind of stuff.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, it's interesting, Steve, what's happening and how we need to be able to focus on securing the homeland.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, as some reports are stating, and we're going to be having a briefing from the Kelly File from Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He actually teaches at the Marine Corps University. Didn't know even one existed, but he teaches there, and he gives the briefings and has counseled many presidents in regards to terror threat. But this is what Israel right now, Steve, they say that by modest estimates, Israel spends a whopping 5.2% of its gross domestic product on defense. Wow. In comparison to the United States, that's 50% more per capita than we spend, according to the World Bank.
Wow.
So they need to start looking at expanding. Are we dedicating enough resources to protecting the homeland instead of scaling back the military? Maybe we need to be proactive. So those are one of the things to consider. But what Dr. Sebastian Gorka speaks of, he starts talking about how, listen, Uncle Sam can no longer protect you. That citizens today in the United States have to be engaged in relating to terror. And he gives some examples of what we can do and what we need to know about because it's the responsibility of every single citizen. Watch this report as he shares this from the Kelly File.
Guest says Paris should be a wake-up call for every American and that we should be ready to challenge things that look out of the ordinary because we cannot wait for the police or the feds. Joining me now, Dr. Sebastian Gorka. He is the chair of military theory at the Marine Corps University, and he also served as a prosecution expert in the Boston bombing trial. He also runs the GorkaBriefing.com. Dr. Gorka, thank you for being here tonight. So your position right now is that Paris is just the beginning, and we need to rely on ourselves. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at what's happened since the attacks on Friday, Megan, it is clear that this wasn't just some spontaneous event done by people who had a grudge. This is organized. This is a network. This is international. This woman, if the reports are true, tried to entice the police closer to that house so she could kill them with an explosive device that had been prepared for this eventuality. So the message is very clear. Clear, Megan, the jihad is real, the jihad is global, and they want to bring it to the shores of America. We have an article coming out in tomorrow's New York Post where we give you the stats. We've had 82 ISIS suspects arrested in America in a 20-month period, and of those, a full 30% had no intention of going to Iraq or to Syria to fight. They had decided to kill Americans on U.S. soil. As a result, don't wait for Uncle Sam to protect you. Every American has a duty and a responsibility to be aware of the threat and be prepared to protect themselves.
But what does that mean? I mean, there's no reasoning with these people. We on Friday night, as the terror attack was unfolding, and we heard that there were up to 100 hostages taken in that concert hall. One of the first guests we tried to book was a hostage negotiator. And of course, that was ridiculous because there's no negotiating with these people. They just killed them. They killed them all. If they couldn't escape, they were dead. So how are Americans supposed to think about protecting themselves?
Okay, so you're the first point, absolutely right. You don't negotiate with people who want to destroy you. That would be like negotiating with Hitler. No, you have to be tactically aware. If you're in a state, if you're in a municipality that allows you to carry a weapon, you should do so. You should get training. You should carry it. Your members of your family that are prepared to do so, likewise. But on top of that, even more important than that, is you have to have tactical awareness. I grew up in the UK during the deadliest years of the IRA. Everybody was alert all the time. If somebody put a bag down for a moment on a tube train, on the subway, on a bus, within 60 seconds, a school kid, a grandmother would say, "Whose is that bag?" And if nobody replied, that bus would be stopped, it would be evacuated, and the police would be called. Do we have that mentality today in America? I'm not sure.
How determined do you believe they are right now to launch an attack in America? In other words, does it make it more likely since they just had, quote, success in Paris, or is it more likely that they'll lie low for a bit until the heat is less severe?
I think if you read the magazine of ISIS, so ISIS has an English language jihadi magazine called Dabiq, and your watchers can check it out, D-A-B-I-Q. It's their manual of jihad. It is clear, explicit, every issue. They want to take the war to America. I believe we have sleeper cells here already. Director Comey has said there are upwards of 900 investigations going on in all 50 states. So I would expect them to be encouraged by this event, because it was successful. This is the largest targeting of civilians on French soil since the end of World War II. So this will be an encouragement to jihadis in America.
Dr. Gorka, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Megan.
Think of how important this is. It's the role of every citizen to be engaged. As we start looking at what are ways, what are the things that we need to do? You know, one, maybe increase our budget to fight against terrorism. Secondly, we need to be concerned citizens.
And to wake up.
Well, not just wake up, but think about it. So many people think that it's something that's happening somewhere else.
Over there.
And it's not happening here, and that it can't happen. And many, many professionals are saying it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. And so we got to begin to start looking deeper, looking broader, zooming in and zooming out. If you see something suspicious, you need to start reporting it. You need to be able to say, hey, listen, that doesn't look right, and not look the other way. Because right now, they said of all the ones that they apprehended, 28%, Steve, almost a third of all of those that were arrested in the United States, they had they didn't have any intention of leaving the United States to join ISIS. They were remaining here to do jihad here. And we've talked about this on this program repeatedly about sleeper cells. And we have to be able to say, okay, not only do we want to protect the homeland, not only do we want to watch out for ourselves and for others, but we can't have a hunkered down escapism mentality. This is the time to preach the gospel. I mean, fear and terror is just, that's what it's all about. It's about paralyzing us so we don't do anything. And our whole focus is just on survival. Listen, we must be about the Father's business, and fighting radical Islam is not anything new. In fact, our very first war, Steve, our very first war, Thomas Jefferson, we were fighting radical Islam, pirates that were stealing ships.
The
Barbary Coast, you know, and capturing them and asking for a jizya, a ransom, and thanks to them, really, that's how we've got the Navy. We had to have a fleet of ships that would protect the United States. And so I want us to reimagine and refocus and say, listen, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? And it goes back to crying out to God. It's not a mystery why these things are happening. Like, why now? Of all the time, why is that we're experiencing all of these tragedies that are coming in the United States? I mean, if you go down the list, and if you've watched this program for any length of time, we've discussed in detail all the different things that are affecting us here. And the question we've asked over and over again, is America under judgment? Is this the judgment of God? And so I want you to watch, as Greg shares with us about Casey Sweet's dream that she had, a prophetic dream. It was a two-minute warning to let us know what we need to do in these end times. Listen, it's not about escaping, you know, escapism mentality. It's about doing all that we can in the time that we have for the glory of our King. It's all about saving souls. Watch this.
That we can cry out to God, and God, this is going to be the best days for the church ahead, the greatest harvest of the church the world's ever seen for Christians. People being saved. I mean, it's going to be the biggest ever, but we have to position ourselves and prepare ourselves. And God has given us, this is like a two-minute warning. When you think about a game, for example, like a football game, right before the game ends, they give a two-minute warning. And that means everybody adjusts, everybody pauses, they take a break because they realize it's it. All you have is 2 minutes left. And guess what? God just said prophetically to Casey Sweet in a night vision, that's exactly what we have. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, and if you knew this, why didn't you tell somebody? Let's listen to what the Lord said to Casey Sweet.
Hi, I'm Casey, and I want to tell you about a dream that I believe God gave me. I was sitting in a very dark room with me and one other person. I'm not sure who that person was, but I think I knew them. I was sitting there, and I knew that there was going to be a bomb that was about to go off, and I had 2 minutes. I didn't see the bomb, but I knew that it was there for some reason, and so I had 2 minutes, and I was just waiting, and I started praying and silently in my head, and all of a sudden, the bomb went off, and I woke up in my dream. I woke up on a train, full of people, cars. We were in a car full of people. There was people everywhere. And Jesus was standing at the very front of this car. And he was telling everyone, he was asking, he said, who of you knew me? Who of you accepted me and actually knew me while you were alive? And everyone was looking at him like, why does that matter? Who are you? Why did we need to know you? And I said, well, I did. And I'm like the only one that said so, and he said, well, come with me. And so I go up to the front of the car, and we go into the next car. on the train, and he looks at me, and he's got these papers in front of him that have some things on them, and he looks at me and he says, "So why didn't you tell the person next to you when you were about to die about me?" And I just started crying. You know, I was just like, I don't know. I didn't even cross my mind to tell them about you. And just filled with regret and feeling like I could have done something more. And he went on, had a list of things that, just opportunities that I had missed in my life to tell people about him and to do good. And at the end of it, you know, Jesus was like, "I still love you, and you are still welcome here." He said, "I just wanted you to realize what you could have done." And so, you know, he hugged me, and he welcomes me into this train car, now full of believers. And I sit down in my seat, and I'm just sitting there and still crying from, you know, feeling like I could have done better. But the person in front of me turns around, and I realize I knew them. I was like, "Wow, what are you doing here? You know, this is," I was like, "I'm so glad you're here." And he said, "I want to thank you." And I was like, "For what?" And he said, "You're the reason I'm here." I was like, I barely even talked to you. This is a guy from high school. And I said, "I barely even talked to you." He said, "No, you are the reason I'm here. You told me about Jesus, and you showed me what it meant to follow him." And I was just blown away. I couldn't believe that someone I barely even knew, that I barely even talked to, was there because of me. I just couldn't believe it. And I finally woke up, and I was crying, and full of tears of joy and tears of sorrow and regret of things that I've in my past that I have not taken, that I've taken for granted, and I haven't done for Jesus. And I believe that in this dream he was trying to show me the time is coming. We only have 2 minutes left, you know. It's coming very quickly, and we need to take our time and take advantage of the people that are around us and the opportunities that we have to share the gospel and to let people know that that train is coming, that people sitting in that car can say, "Yes, I accepted you and I knew you," and they can go to the next car. And that's my dream, and that's what I wanted to share.
This is so powerful. This is what God is just now saying. You're hearing this from Pastor John Kilpatrick. You're hearing this from Casey Sweet. You're hearing it from us. And the warning, so many people, the mindset, when you talk to people who are Christians, they're going like, "How can I survive? What about me? What about my stuff?" And you're not hearing anybody say, "How can I let people know? If you die today, where would you go? Because if you haven't made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you're not going to go to heaven. You're not going to go to a better place. You have to consciously make that decision." And the Lord was going, "Why didn't you tell them?"
We need to tell them. We need to tell them. Listen, we're living in times right now that at any moment, you can pass away. It reminds me of the book of Ephesians 5:15. It says, "Be careful then how you live, not as the unwise, but as the wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Listen, no matter if it's jihad or terrorist attacks, this is our time to be able to witness and to share the gospel, even with the jihadists. They need to know about Jesus. That's how they can get saved. That's how they can come into the kingdom of God. And it's our time right now to say, "You know what, Lord, what would you have me to do in this day, in this hour?"
Tomorrow's not guaranteed. And this is that moment, because one thing that you hear Casey saying is that regret of missed opportunities. And God, give me the grace that I don't miss the opportunities that you present before me.
Absolutely. Every time we walk out of our house is an opportunity for us to share the gospel, the good news with someone. You know, one of the things that she said in that dream, that her encounter, was that she had regret, because she looked at all the missed opportunities that she had every single day to be able to share the love of Christ with someone. You never know when the person that's you're living with, even in your own home, when they could die. And the question we should be asking everyone, are you right with God? Are you right with Jesus? If today was the last moment of your life, would you be straight? Would you be in heaven? Listen, we want to pray with you. And we want you to know Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Please continue to pray for us, but let's join together in prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing right now in this land, Lord, and across the globe. Father, we thank you for Ezra, Lord. We thank you for the Jewish people. We thank you for the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Lord, and all that we can learn from the apple of God's eye. But Father, in all of our learning and of all of our getting, let us get wisdom, Lord, the wisdom to make you Lord, Lord and Savior. Father, we pray for every person who's watching this program today. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you can receive him today in your heart. He can be your Savior, your Lord, your Master, and you can be with him for all of eternity. You can receive him now. Write to us and let us know about your decision for the Lord. God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you again on the next program. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.